Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. You were waiting for me to say something else. It is a good morning for marijuana. I'll explain later.
All right. I know Colorado is so confused by what to do by all the tax revenue, they barely know how to spend it. I'm not sure why other states don't understand that it could be, you know, beneficial to the educational systems. But that's a separate show, maybe.
Did you see on the news that somebody offered Obama on his little tour in Denver, somebody offered him a joint?
A sample of the local wares? Yes, I did. Very funny. I also thought there was you got me on a roll with this, thinking about this. There was also a funny interview with a police officer of 36 years, a local sheriff, who said they'd had a bluegrass festival in town, and it was their first event where they'd had open marijuana consumption, and they said the entire festival went off without a hitch. And they were like, wow, no problems, no issues, no arrests.
That is great.
There we go.
Talk to our audience. Happy to have you with us. For those of you who want to watch the show today, you can go to soundhealthoption.com. We are broadcasting video. And for those of you who just want to listen, it's going to be a great listen show because we have a very talented musician with us. You can go to 347-850-1407 and listen. Is there another way to get into Blog Talk, Richard?
There is. They can also, I believe, at the same soundhealthoptions.com radio tab, if you click on Blog Talk Radio, I believe that in that same page, there's a link which will take you direct to the, if you wanted to listen to Blog Talk Radio online, you can go there, and also then you can join in the chat at Blog Talk Radio.
Great. We have a chat going over here at WebEx as well. And for people who think that we are having a splendiferous, that means magnificent. I used that the other day and somebody was, what? Not even a word. But it really is. If you're thinking we're having a splendiferous show and you want to share it with your friends, it will be up probably within a half hour of when we finish on our front page, lower left side. And while you're there, there's some interesting articles and giveaways and things like that. So you can do that with us. This is sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. More about that in a minute. It'll all come together when we do the keynote. So if you want free downloads and software, you can get that from the site. soundhealthoptions.com right now. It's bio, diet, and radiation. There's also a free video under Secret Stash. So things that you want to know about us, actually what we're really doing here is talking to you about your brain on bioacoustics, life sounds, and we try to bring you information and ideas to make your life more pleasant and a little easier. We've just about to do our fourth two-day program for the public. We've done these free. PTSD was one. Radiation. And this is two-day software, text, everything included. We did vaccination. And on the 24th and 25th of July, we're doing weight management. That's going to be online. Do it right from your living room because we think those are four major issues that are going on with at least the United States. PTSD, radiation exposure, post-traumatic stress disorder is PTSD because of what's happening with the returning soldiers. We're making a relationship between the vaccination and the immune system and why they're coming back with their adrenals all shot and they can't cope and they're committing suicide. Radiation exposure, where that's happening all over the world and they're not doing much about it. Maybe they think they can't do anything about it. But vaccination, they are trying to cover that one up. Joan says, I need the password. Things are often inconsistent. The password to get into this, people are having trouble here. I wonder how you're posting if you don't have the password. Joan, I don't understand. Moonstone, can you take care of Joan's questions in chat? Oh, Moon is having problems too.
You keep going. I'll talk to Joan in a minute.
The screen is blank. Do you see the
screen? I don't know how that would be since I'm seeing the screen. I'm not sure how the screen could be blank.
Your desktop.
I'll talk to them.
Blank. Moonstone, Richard is seeing everything, and other people are too. So I don't know what's happening. Maybe you don't have enough room on your computer or something. Okay. But what password do you need, Joan? When we do Blog Talk Radio, I think we put the password up there. The password for this meeting is incredible. Oh, okay. Got a lot of chat going on. I love the chat in these things. We learn so much from each other. And I was in the middle of talking about, our keynote. So we're doing this program. You can look at classes. Go to eSpecial. And this is by donation only. This is a $1,200 course. 2 days, you can take this software and begin your practice. Or you can use the software that's already there. Radiation. And bio-diet. But the subscription that's online is 30 days. This will be a year's subscription. We ask you for data back. We see this as an incredible plight. And we think it's because there's bad food, bad air, bad water, pollution, toxicity. And so our guest is going to talk about some of that just as soon as I read the keynote, and then things will make sense. Richard, I expect some comment from you when this is over.
I'm reading it now.
We always have a little cartoon up here, too, and it's a picture of a man fishing it in the river, and the government on the other side of the river snatching his fishing catch. And it's my complaint because I was just informed on last week that we pay nearly $500 per employee each month in taxes. I find that incredible. They're upping it and upping it and upping it. State, local, school, federal. We have to pay a tax to have an employee. You know, why isn't income tax enough? We've done shows about this, tax on to fish and to drive and to get married and to have a building and to have a fire, and it's crazy. So that's my stand against the government, that card. Okay, back to the keynote for July 15th, 2014. And this is about frequencies coming to the Earth from outer space in a very cyclical way, almost astrological, only they're being monitored now by NASA and Motorola and a lot of other people that have satellites up there. So the color right now, based on that frequency, is the note of D sharp, and it's the color gold. I'm reading now. And if you'd like this, a copy of this, just go to the site under Keynote. We've often said that bioacoustically speaking, almost everything is something else. By that we mean that one frequency can represent many things. Today's keynote is a great example of this. The frequency of marijuana, a medicinal herb, is the same frequency as the natural hormone progesterone, which varies significantly with the human reproduction cycle. This may be why some false positives show up during drug testing. Progesterone is found in both males and females, mostly females. Progesterone is necessary for the reproduction sex hormones to maintain pregnancy and as a support for brain function and a regulator of libido. The tenets of bioacoustic biology have stated for nearly two decades that frequency relationships can explain the connections between many diseases. For example, bioacoustics can now show the root cause between heart disease and diabetes. The frequency for troponin, which is a biomarker for heart stress, and insulin are the same frequency. Thyroid and diabetes. The frequency for 5' deoxygenase, which is a translation factor for T3 and T4, is the same as insulin. High blood pressure and diabetes, it's vasopressin, that's the commonality there. So if you keep the sugar low, the vasopressin doesn't go high and cause high blood pressure. Blood sugar and brain function. Inositol and choline are both very important for brain function, and they are the frequency of glucose. So conventional science knew these relationships existed, but they cannot explain their origin. The concepts of math as medicine may help scientists take a leap forward in how disease can be predicted and treated. Muscles in stress at this time, mostly neck muscle. So it's not your pillow, it's just the time of year. The protein that helps the body use leptin, that dreaded fat storage hormone, is high for the next few days. May be a good time to start your diet so that you've been putting off. The SOCS3 protein also helps mediate inflammation. I'm done, Richard.
I think it's so interesting that does that mean that the progesterone and the endocannabinoid sites, receptor sites in the hormone system, are the same, do you think? Because we actually do have an endocannabinoid receptor site already built into our bodies. It's a natural receptor site. And so is that the same receptor site as progesterone, do you think?
From what we're seeing, it is. And when your progesterone goes low, you get the munchies.
Wow. I love nature.
I thought people might take this up as, okay, you said I had marijuana in my system, and it's really my cycle.
It could totally be. You know, who knows? I mean, that is a very interesting thing that you're saying is about the false receptor, you know, the false positives.
Not only are they the same frequency, but if you look at a Merck manual, you can see that they're exactly the same formula.
You're blowing my mind on air. Wow.
I thought you knew everything.
Wow. Whoa, man. Well, I know a lot. I know a lot. But, you know, that's a combination that I've never put together. Wow. Well, that actually totally, in a certain way, that makes sense also because of the cannabinoids, which are really the higher dominant, the CBDs, are the higher, you know, anti-inflammatory, not the THC side as much, the cannabinoid side, or much more the anti-inflammatory side. So that kind of makes sense because when your progesterone set levels are low, oftentimes you're inflamed on an interstitial level. So, I mean, wow.
If your body's had marijuana once, it'll know that reaction and it will crave either wherever you're getting the progesterone or the marijuana.
Marijuana. And do you think the body craves? I'm sorry, BB, we'll be right there. Do you think that the body also has a craving in a certain sense for progesterone? The hormone system actually has a sense of craving for progesterone?
Absolutely, based on a woman's cycle, absolutely. Think of where we get progesterone. I think milk, whole milk is one of the places we get progesterone. But I'll look it up and post it with this.
Wow, that's totally cool. Fabulous. Okay, so are we ready to introduce BB? I'm sorry we wandered off there, but that just blew my mind on air.
One of our favorite guests,
BB Farber, singer, songwriter, and environmental activist, is here to share some of her latest music and concerns from Mother Earth. Phoebe's an incredible artist who uses her music to support her passion to help all of us refurbish our health of our environment and ourselves. Phoebe's been with us many times. She is one of our favorite people for everyone because she's a very talented and caring person. Not only is BB a supporter of our health and our environment, but is a talented musician and composer. She runs the online sites Next World TV and Next World Health TV. And I'm going to welcome Phoebe, by playing one of her tracks called Global Climate, BB? I only see the title that I type in here. Is that what it's called?
Hi, Richard. Thank you. What a
Good
great
morning.
Introduction. Thank you. It's called Global Climate Change in All Our Hearts. It's a little joke. That's where we need it.
Right, exactly. Boy, howdy, is that the truth. Let's play that, and then we'll get started.
Wonderful. Thank you.
What it's doing to you, what it's doing to me, trying to find some sanity. We need a global climate change in all our hearts. Look around and what do I see? Upside down humanity. We need a global climate change in all our hearts. Now's the time to open up and feel it coming through. Now's the time to ask yourself who's out there needing you. It's totally up to you. Totally up to you. Our minds are overweight. We need a global climate change in all our hearts. The solution that I can see unfold starts inside the human soul. The global climate change in all our hearts. Now's the time to open up and feel it coming through. Now's the time to ask yourself who's out there. About a global climate change in all our hearts. Make it up as we move along. Now we're 7 billion strong. Global climate change in all our hearts. it coming through. Now's the time to ask yourself who's out there needing you. Now's the time to redefine these visions in our view. Make new signs, draw new lines, and see what we can do.
Bravo. I'm cueing the applause sign.
Thank you so much, Sherry and Richard. What a pleasure to be here with you today. And that was a really fascinating opening to the show.
We were looking at your pictures from your site, B.B. Farber, B-I-B-I,
F-E-R.com,
if anyone wants to follow along with us. We were looking at all of your pictures, your photos.
Thank you.
Have you always been possessed about the environment?
No. Oh, that's a great question. I lived in Sweden when I was a teenager. I'm American, but my mother was Swedish, and when my parents divorced, we lived there with our mother. I lived there for 6 years, from age 13 to 19, and it is so much more just part of the Swedish soul to be connected to the environment. So it's hard to say, had I stayed in America, you know, I was a 70s kid and we learned about pollution and not littering and the way it was presented in those days. And, you know, I think going to Sweden, recycling was already mandatory. My first job in a restaurant, we composted. Nobody threw away anything, paper, glass, or metal. So I think I just grew up in a much more environmentally conscious country.
You grew up with it really in your bones, of in the
yes.
culture. It was already enculturated as a regular, not a like, oh my God, we're recycling our paper products. It was just part of life.
Right, and it goes along with so many other aspects of how Northern Europe, you know, why they evolved, why they are on the leading edge when it comes to alternative energy now, because gas was never cheap there. They didn't have oil in the ground. I mean, Norway now, but there was no cheap oil in their whole society. Petrol, you know, cost, I guess, $10 a gallon. When I grew up? So nobody is just driving around. Nobody's wasting hot water. The whole country wasn't functioning on an illusion of cheap energy to
wow.
begin with. So.
$10 a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, that's right. So they didn't, you know, kids don't have cars there. And if a family has a car, they have one car, and that's a luxury. The whole 6 years I lived there, we never had a car. We got along on bicycles and buses. And so does everyone else. Unless you live in the country, you really don't have a car. You don't need a car. And it's quite expensive. So at the time, I thought it was a little bit. What can I say? I mean, I missed certain things about the States. I missed the climate and the carefree nature of everything. But in Sweden, looking back, the way we learned to live there, which was not necessarily frugal or limiting in any way, but just an awful lot more in tune with how I now see we should live. So people wash their clothes less often. They're less obsessed with showering all the time. Of course, it's not as hot there, so it's easier. It's easier to take less showers. But there was the whole country. I mean, not just the current mindset, but my grandmother's mindset, my great grandmother's mindset. It was they always had to conserve. and live within
where the
their
most it's where the most efficient, you know, washing machine. This is an odd thing,
yes.
But you know,
yes.
You know where the most efficient washing machines came from, because they understood from the get go that you had to have, you know, everything was efficient from the foundation of exactly what you're talking about. I mean, they understood that you used, I forget what a high end like a Miele washing machine uses is, you know, a regular washing machine uses like, let's say, 60 to 90 gallons per load, and a Miele uses like 20. And
mm-hmm.
that's just, as you're saying, it's just a foundation of, no, we need to be efficient. It's not because we're making a statement. It's because we
right.
need to be.
Right. And they never had an era of being able to waste.
Yeah.
They've never had, not with their own resources and not with their imports. They're way up there. You know, nothing is on the house, really, except a lot of forest and water.
I want to throw in, too, here, as the United States ups gas prices, the gas companies controlling it have absolutely record profits. And the other thing I'm upset about is they're using this as the Middle East war excuse, when we get about 12% of our total gasoline and diesel from the Mideast, but they're pushing this as if we get 100% of our oil there, and we'd be absolutely crippled if we don't fight these, and I'm going to call them useless, because we're right back where we started with thousands of people.
Yes.
And like you said, it needs to come from the inside. And right now it's being controlled, as Richard says, by the money. Follow the money.
Yeah.
There are so many topics on your site. I have a favorite.
Okay.
The Declaration of Interdependence.
Yes.
Would you mind if we played that?
I'd love that. That's really sums up the mission statement of Next World TV. I believe you picked a fine one there.
Well, I looked at it in preparing for the show and then got hooked on it. Absolutely incredible. It opens so many of the pictures. I'm sort of bombarded here trying to close the pictures. And I didn't know I'd opened like 30 of them. Okay. We're going to play this. It's so self-explanatory and beautiful. But I'd like
yes,
to
yes.
It's coming in. I'm going to pause this for a second so I can read
it
for Blog Talk Radio folks that can't see this. The Declaration of Interdependence was written in 1992 by David Suzuki and his wife, Tara Cullis, along with Rafi Kevorkian, Wade Davis, boy, I can't pronounce that word, Jujawa, and others. As the David Suzuki Foundation's founding document, it expresses our values as an organization, provides a vision for the survival of the planet through a new politics of hope that promotes connection and interdependence.
Yes.
This we know. We are the earth through the plants and animals that nourish us. We are the rains and the oceans that flow through our veins.
We are the breath of the forest, of the land, and the plants of the sea.
We are human animals, related to all other life, as descendants of the firstborn cell. We share with these kin a common history written in our genes.
We humans are but one of 30 million species weaving a thin layer of life enveloping the world.
Our home, planet Earth, is finite. All life shares its resources and the energy from the sun, and therefore has limits to growth.
For the first time, we have touched those limits. When we compromise the air, the water, the soil, and the variety of life, we steal from the endless future to serve the sleeping first.
tools so powerful that we have driven fellow creatures to extinction. Dammed the great rivers, torn down ancient forests, poisoned the earth, rain, and wind, and ripped holes in the sky.
Our science has brought pain as well as joy. Our comfort is paid for by the suffering of millions.
We are learning from our mistakes. We are mourning our vanished kin. And we now build a new politics of hope. We respect and uphold the absolute need for clean air, water, and soil.
We see that economic activities that benefit the few while shrinking the inheritance of many are wrong.
And since environmental degradation erodes biological capital forever, full ecological and social costs must enter all equations of development. We are one brief generation in the long march of time. It's not ours to erase.
This
we resolve.
All this that we know and believe must now become the foundation of the way we live.
At this turning point in our relationship with Earth, we work for an evolution from dominance to partnership.
From fragmentation to connection.
From insecurity to interdependence.
This so much represents what you do, even though you're a musician and you do commercials and all that. But this labor of love that you do, Next World TV, and bringing people all of these different stunning categories.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I mean, I've learned so much. Baking bread in the sun, making little gardens. Do you have favorites that you want to share with people to help them?
I learn so much from doing this, and I get so excited. Some videos really make my heart pound. I love anything that has to do with reducing waste, and I'll let you choose which of these you think might be more interesting. There's finally a zero waste restaurant. Zero waste is a goal. Everybody who's talking about zero waste talks about it as a goal in the future to have a zero waste household or a zero waste hotel, or even a zero waste city. It means what it sounds like: generating absolutely no garbage. Everything is composted or recycled, or reused somehow. So restaurants, as you know, just throw away mountains of garbage every day, every restaurant. There's one restaurant profiled here in this video that it shows their little pile of garbage after 2 years, and you know, it would like it's a bunch of paper cups that customers brought into their restaurant and some stuff in a bag. So it's in Chicago, and it's about 4 minutes. Do you want to check that out, or are you more excited about a mushroom product that can be grown and that biodegrades that can replace styrofoam packaging?
I'm looking at reducing waste. Is that where the restaurant one is?
Yes. I sent you the link. It's called The Garbageless Restaurant.
I will go back to my email and look at that. In the meantime, Richard, would you ask her this fracking question?
Sure. I also will get to. I'm certain we're going to get to fracking. I have two thoughts there. There's also Terrence McKenna's work. I'm certain you're familiar with his work, an architect, and
yes,
he's actually worked on projects and has buildings now built on universities that are not only zero waste, they're actually contributing power back into the grid. because they're self-contained, you know, processing systems, and they have solar panels, so much so that he's actually, his goal is always to have anything architectural actually producing energy into the system without taking anything out and being totally self-containing, which is just mind-blowing. I love that about
him. Yes. Yes.
And then the restaurant business, I used to be, you know, this is where I put on a little black band across my eyes. I used to be in the restaurant business, and I used to be one of those people contributing to the waste. And way before there was really organized recycling, I used to save all the, at least, cans and bottles and take them to the recycling centers, because otherwise they just got thrown in the trash, which blew my mind.
Literally,
all the we always had pig farmers who would come by. You know, I'd organize with the pig farmers to come by and get all the food to at least take it and feed it to somebody. But I mean, you're true. It's true. Restaurants are just wow. I could rant about that for a long time.
No, it's I just can't believe that until recently so much just went in the garbage. I mean, even today, plenty does. But imagine, 10 years ago, nobody was even recycling. Well, not nobody. That's not true. But it was not mandatory.
Not at all. And water usage is a whole bad subject when it comes to restaurants. They just go through water like it's water. Like they think it has no value. It's just, oh boy.
Right.
All right.
We have the video up. So I'm going to play this. It's about 4 minutes, then we'll ask you about the fracking, because that's been a subject dear to our hearts.
When I first set out for this, I was like, I'm not going to just do it half. I'm going to do it all the way. So any questions that you would ask, we have a great solution for that. To me, that's the only way to let other restaurants know that this work happens. Everything myself. I bring it all back to my house, and I have like separate little areas, and I know it's my full proper way. I'm Justin Branny. I'm the owner and operator of Sandwich Me In. So this compost here is any waste in the restaurant that is biodegradable or paper. Sandwich Me In is a sustainable practicing restaurant. By that, I mean we have no waste at all. Usually in a day, we only go through one tank. I've worked in restaurants for like 15 years. I say 15 tanks go down. In a typical restaurant, about 8 gallons of garbage is thrown out into the dumpster in hours. We did it in almost 2 years. We just had an artist come and pick up the 8 gallons of garbage and make a sculpture out of it. So we are now into a zero waste. I used to do whatever I wanted to do. I went back to school and started learning about what we're doing with our waste, how to utilize that stuff. It opened my mind. I came home, I told my wife, we're not
breakfast sandwich from any place churning out crap meat and like ingredients.
Which we also need to.
Or we can come here and like have, you know, support this place.
We do make everything at house from scratch, all sourcing from local farms. When first-time customers come in and you get that immediate reaction, making me know that the passion that I have for this is working and, you know, gets me through the daily grind. The busier we get, the more people find out and the more people are excited about the new little buzz that's in the neighborhood. But to me, I don't want to be in the spotlight. I just want to change things for my kids or for all of us.
Very nice.
Isn't that a great step in the right direction?
I
love that.
Oh,
I actually remember the Frugal Gourmet, Jeff Smith, for God's sakes.
Oh, wow.
And that's so true. That's so exciting to see, you know, a restaurant with that consciousness. I mean, I'm in California where, well, a long time ago, I had the people who actually started Earthbound Farms used to bring produce to me because they were in my area. So I've had
mm-hmm.
that in my brain, but it was still difficult to get the owners to understand the concept of exactly like he's talking about. The amount of waste in any given day is mind-boggling.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just really, if people actually saw how much waste went through a high-volume restaurant where you're serving 200 or 300 meals a day, I mean, it is just stunning how much stuff you can throw away every day. So to go out of your way to make it down to that where he's got a sack of, you know, nothing and six cups is like, wow.
Exactly. And it just, it fosters such a good cycle all around. He also runs on alternative energy. He buys local. So everybody who eats there and gets a good feeling there might just make that choice, you know, the next time they're, even in small ways, just choosing something local that's 50 cents more. You know, if everybody really did this, or even if most people were exposed to this mindset, we could turn things around quickly. We just still think that styrofoam cups are part of life and throwing them in the garbage after a sip of water or a cup of coffee is how we live. We need to question that. We really need to understand that that was a temporary mistake.
Well, on the part of there's two thoughts that I have there. A, that if people just begin to, everybody has this, or a lot of people have this mindset of like, well, it's too big, I can't possibly do anything. No, let's say coffee. So if you go in and get a coffee at insert, you know, chain of your choice,
mm-hmm.
with your own cup, that's one
mm-hmm.
less cup we have to recycle. So if everybody starts having just that, I have a friend who's, we have this as sort of an ongoing joke and a truth. We both have what we call the last straw. And what that means is that we both carry our own straws with us. And when we're out or we see each other at conferences, we both have our last straw.
That's
because
hilarious.
That is like one thing. Well, as I say, it's a running joke, but it's also really a truth. If you think about how much plastic is thrown away every day, I'd like to find some stats on that. Just from straws.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't, you know, straw is sort of like not something we ever think about, but I mean, every beverage you get has a straw in it. And that's
Exactly.
Do we need this much plastic? Really? Okay.
And Just as an amusing note, I want to say that I have a video on Next World TV about reusable bamboo straws.
Awesome.
Sometimes I just promote products, and I'm not sure if it's produced by the people who want to sell you these bamboo straws, but there's definitely information to find out where to get them. I've sometimes brought back an old a plastic salad container, even just from the day before. Like, let's say I'm in New York City right now, so I'm eating at a salad bar, and I'm, you know, the next day I went back to that salad bar with the plastic container, and they they just looked at me like I was crazy. Like, why are you handing me this garbage? I said, can you use it? And I don't know if he didn't understand or he pretended not to understand, but he threw it away and gave me a new one. And I was running late. I couldn't argue with him. But the whole thing was just upsetting to him that I brought back this, what to him was filthy. Of course, I had washed it. I mean, but that's not even the point. He didn't understand the concept. The guy behind the counter.
A lot of people just don't have, you know, I see it sometimes when this is more of a personal statement. I don't go to large chain coffee companies because, A, I'm a fan of coffee, so I know my local roasters. But, B, because I go into so many of them and I see somebody come in with a plastic cup to get water or to get a refill, and the person behind the counter throws it in the trash,
not even in the recycling bin,
and gives you a fresh one, like, and I'm... It blows my mind.
Like you're a crazy homeless person or something.
Yes.
You know, but in their defense, I have to say Starbucks started a program. They've done two good things. I wish that they were fully fair trade and everything, but they have done two good things on the environmental front here in the States. They have a reusable cup program. You buy this cup that you can reuse, and it's like a dollar, and then you get 10% off every beverage forever when you present this cup. So that's wonderful. And then they also, in many locations, offer you grounds for your garden. It's a program called Grounds for Your Garden. And if you call them ahead of time, they'll even put aside more. You can get all that used coffee, put it in your garden, put it in your compost. It's the best thing.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
And we can
Keeps
all
out
start.
Here,
we, can,
yeah.
we can all start asking local roasters, local coffee shops to give us grinds. That's one bit of waste that if you have a garden or a compost, you know, you can really make use of that. And it's probably just like everything else. Just need to develop a habit about it and keep it sanitary and however you're going to get it back and forth, and then it's part of your life.
Yeah. And the worms love it. Worms love coffee grounds. Oh, my God. I have worm bins, and they just, like, you can hear them applauding when the coffee grounds show.
Wow, really?
Yes, they really do. It's amazing. I don't know why, but I just know they do love it.
We can rebuild this earth. I mean, the topsoil issue is huge. It can be rebuilt. I mean, I'm passionate about composting. I'm really fanatic about it. I don't ever want to throw away a banana peel or anything. My heart aches for all the organic matter in the garbage cans all over this world. I mean, composting can rebuild our soil.
I love what David Suzuki said, or his wife, I guess. We're stealing from our future for a fleeting now.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. I wanted to ask you something about how people get on your site to get notified?
Oh, sure. Okay, I have two websites. The one we've been mostly focused on is Next World TV, and it's just like it sounds, nextworldtv, all one word, .com. It's free to sign up. There's a little bar in there. We just ask for your first name and your email address, nothing else, and we'll send you a notice every time we put up a new video, or we may point your attention to a video that's been up there but that we want to rerun because it was such a hit last year. So you just type in your name, and you'll start getting a few videos a week. And the other one is Next World Health TV. Works the same way, nextworldhealthtv.com. And the subjects there are mind, body, and spirit health. We also have a category on animals. I just ran two videos on this amazing gorilla who can sign, Coco the gorilla, and I think that's just, I'm just blown away by how this animal communicates with us. It's really, like one of my subscribers said, it's the only animal who has ever talked to us, and that is absolutely true. That was fascinating. So mind, body, spirit health means it's everything from videos about acupuncture and Tai Chi, and breathing exercises, tapping exercises. We have a category on GMO food, of course, and vaccination. And it's more environment and health focused. So things like chemtrails, radiation, and all of that. But also a lot of positive things and a lot of lighter things. You know, make your own beauty products, make your own household products. How to transition away from shampooing your hair, and you know, make your own sunscreen and things like that. So that's Next World Health TV, diversity of products of videos, and Next World TV proper is a lot more about sustainability and environment and how we can transition to a world where we're living within our resources, and the economy is a big part of that. So I have a section called New Economy, which is about videos on bartering and just the explosion of how people are working around the system. Every interaction does not have to involve dollars, and let's get away from buying things. Let's trade things. You know, let's trade services. Let's trade as much as possible. And then and rebuild
the value. That now, BB. There's a law against barter now.
Oh my! Well, a law. You mean they want to tax it?
Yes.
That's right. Well, you have to be careful. I guess.
I want to change the subject just a little bit. Richard and I have talked about fracking a lot on this show, and both of us feel that it's rape of Mother Nature. But I looked on the site, and it says, my water on fire tonight, the fracking song. And I thought that would be great, but it's been banned or taken down or something from your site.
Oh, wow, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. That means I didn't write that song. I remember corresponding with the woman who did, and I wonder why that was taken down. Wow.
And the other one that intrigues me here, short delightful animated short on fracking. Is that appropriate for us to play now?
Yes. But it is an animation, so those who are just listening would not get the whole feel of it.
Okay, well, let's not do that. Let's do the one on the mushrooms.
Okay.
And we're probably going to be running over a little bit, guys, but this is so interesting, I don't care.
Okay. I'll try to find you that fracking link somewhere else while we listen.
Okay, here's the mushroom packaging. And if there's any writing on it, energynow.com.
Mushrooms. I love them. Stuffed mushrooms, sauteed mushrooms, baked mushrooms, mushroom pot pie, mushroom soup, mushroom stew, mushroom styrofoam packing material.
Oh, I'm going to have to keep it small.
I don't know. That last one. Well, I'm here in Green Island, New York. Find out.
Mushroom package material.
You could be in a restaurant kitchen. Storage containers full of rice, grain, cereal by the mound. But if you look a little closer, that pile of succulent cereal starts to look more like honey bunches of buckwheat hulls and cotton gin trash. If this is a kitchen, I'm eating in tonight. Luckily, if not, it's a lab. And what you see here ends up here. Note, this is not a delicious Rice Krispie treat. It's the next generation of packaging. Lightweight, sturdy, and you don't even manufacture it. You grow it. It's called Eco Cradle, developed by Ecovative Designs as a green, energy-efficient alternative to styrofoam. But the way the two materials are created and the way they're destroyed could not be more different. That white stuff there is mushroom root, or mycelium, a natural, sprawling, sticky, veiny threads of fungus.
I used to see this mycelium in the woods growing up as a kid and thought it was cool glue. We essentially use mycelium as a glue in our process to bind particles together, just like you use plastic as a resin to hold foams together.
That's Evan Bayer, who invented the mushroom packaging and founded the company with his college buddy, Gavin McIntyre.
And so what do you got against styrofoam? Well, there's a couple big issues with expanded polystyrene or styrofoam. The first being the energy content. Material is made from a precious resource, fossil fuel.
Styrofoam is a brand name for expanded polystyrene. And Evan says that making an eco-cradle takes just 1/10 energy of making making the same amount of styrofoam.
The other big problem with this material is it's got all this energy in it, but it doesn't break down at all in the natural environment.
So think about it. The moment the styrofoam is ripped off to some new tech box or your uncle's new wall-mountable singing bass, it goes straight to the trash to clog up a landfill. Hardly any recycling programs will take it. But eco-cradles disintegrate harmlessly. Want to understand how and why? I've got to see it being made. Eco-native environmental director and design engineer, Sam Harrington.
This is the raw material for eco-cradle. So this is cotton gin byproducts. It's all the burrs and the sticks and twigs, everything except for the fiber that makes your shirt. This bin agitates it and sucks it up into our production system, and from there it's pasteurized. That kills any mold spores or bacteria or bugs that might come out the farm.
Right, so there could be bugs and dangerous spores in this that I'm holding here.
Yeah, who knows what comes off the farm.
Sure, it's dirty, but that's kind of part of the beauty. This process can use all kinds of agricultural waste, depending on what state is the region. One place might use sawdust, another rice husks. Keeping the energy output to a minimum is the goal. So people make sure they get the waste from local farms. And unlike fossil fuels, this garbage will always be cheap. Peak oil, perhaps, but you don't hear about peak seed husks.
This is EcoCradle after it's grown for about a week. We take that plant matter that we showed you before and add mycelium.
Yeah, you can actually see the husks that I was just holding in my hand that are still in there. This is only after 1 week.
I also put, as this is, I don't know what you call it when it tries to gather more energy to play something, but I put information about a 300-mile-per-hour car in the chat, and in finding it on the internet, it says, please try again later, an error has occurred.
Huh.
So I don't know what's going on there.
Is that an error when you post to the live chat?
I was trying to play it. It may just be my computer.
It could just be the buffer is full because of all the video.
I found the fracking song link, and I'm sending it to both of your emails.
Oh, great.
Wonderful. I'll add also regarding that packaging, which is a great, great concept, or in practice, there's also a wonderful product made by Paul Stamets, who's a mycologist, in the world of mushrooms. And he has a box that he sells for packaging things, and the box is designed to be compostable or biodegradable, and it also has tree seeds in it. So when you take the box and plant it out in the, you know, corner of your property, in 50 years you'll have giant redwood trees.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So I love that. That's one of my favorite of the, you know, in the jokester realm. And that was a compliment I was going to give you as well, or an observation about, in particular, your Billion Things song, which I love the sense of humor of that, because it is truly so humorous.
I have to turn it off.
And at the same time, they're bonding it all together in this network of fibers. This is what forms its magic.
It's a process that takes place every day.
It's playing a bit at a time. I'm going to kill it. And you guys can go look at it yourself. I put the link in the chat, and we also have this fracking song up. We have, 1 minute? So I guess we'll go out with this. If you tell people one more time how they can
access. Thank you, and what a pleasure to be talking with you both today. My name is Deepi Farber, and the website is nextworldtv.com and nextworldhealthtv.com. And for the music, you can go to bbfarber.com. Thank you so much.
Wonderful, as always, Bibi. Thank you.
Anytime you have something new, just give us a call.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, the fracking song, My Water's on Fire Tonight.
Fracking is a form of natural gas drilling, an alternative to oil, because the oil can still bring it down to small towns, so everybody's willing, people turn on the lights, and the drillers make a killing.
Water goes into the pipe into the ground, the pressure creates efficient 7,000 feet down, the cracks release the gas that power your town, that will frack, yes, totally frack.
But there's more in the water than just H2O, toxic chemicals help to make the fluid flow, with
seems like fishing in formaldehyde. You better keep them far away from the water supply.
The drillers say the fishes are a mile below. The groundwater pumps into American homes. But don't tell it to the residents of several way out. Then what is right?
Wow. I'm laughing with that dark sense of humor laugh. It's so perfect.
Yeah,
what the frack?
What fracking is, they push all kinds of chemicals down in the ground, thousands of feet down, to push everything up, the water, the oil, the gas, and they call it a natural way, you know, because the stuff would come to the surface anyway. Poppycock. Why don't they say pumping up molten lava from the center of the earth would be a good way to heat the place when it's,
yes,
when it's too cold. I mean, it's just silliness.
Let alone the amount of earthquakes that are happening in states that aren't formally known for being earthquake active. But that's another
yes.
show.
Right. Wow, and an important one. And, it's so much about it. I mean, the traffic in those towns. I mean, everything about everything about how they just wreck those towns from the inside out.
The amount of, you know, millions of, like, the 6 million gallons of water typically used in each fracking well, and the amount of pollution in that water really is not going to be potable again, even though they just keep putting it back into the water table. I mean, like, as you say, and the amount of trucks and the pollution and it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, and even those cheap, easy jobs are, you know, it's a bubble. I mean, they're not really bringing wealth to those areas. They're not bringing sustainable growth. They're bringing just toxic jobs, and these young guys take them, and they need the money, but it's bad for everybody in the long run.
Yeah.
There is a video here in the same spot about people in Wyoming. They turn on their spigot, and that catches on fire. And I asked a fracking person that when they were here to talk this community into it. He said, oh, you can do that with any water.
I don't think so.
I've never had my water catch on fire here.
No. How does that work?
There's nothing so dangerous as somebody who thinks they're telling the truth.
Wow.
Right.
I just saw that this morning and grabbed that. Most dangerous liars are those who think they're telling the truth. And there's studies going on where they go into a community and they do this deliberately because they know this is how it happens. They hire people there to go ask opinions. And really the only opinions they change are the opinions of the poll makers, or the poll takers, because they're the ones that are trying to convince other people that this is a good thing. And that's the way they begin their groundswell, because they have seen that through ages and ages of psychological testing, that if you put people in a position to convince other people of something they don't feel confident in themselves, it will change their mind. So we are being bombarded, manipulated right and left. And I just don't know how much longer we can hold out. It seems like the whole system's going to crack and come down.
Yes.
And I think your website is trying to help prepare people for that.
Yes, right.
Was it one of yours that how to bake bread in a sun oven?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I heard the last word, oven.
Well, how to bake in a solar oven so that if the...
Solar oven, yes. Yes, there's several things that relate to that. I mean, there are some ovens that use sunlight and use solar, and there's also how to make a solar dehydrator, and there's a lot about different cook stoves and ways to safely heat food without energy. So that would all be under the category of energy.
Have you shown on your site, I haven't seen it yet, what microwaving does and how it contributes to cancer?
No, Sherry, I haven't. I've kind of avoided the subject. I just never even had one of those horrible things, and I haven't really dealt with it. That's something I should add, as well as EMF radiation in general.
I'm looking up to some things. People sent me some links on the chat that we're doing. Hot topic,
yeah.
Topic 420, bartering income. Bartering tax center, internal revenue. Do you barter the IS once it's cut? What are the tax consequences of bartering? I mean, you can't get up in the morning hardly without being taxed for it. Do you have a tax section on your site?
No, I don't. I have a new economy section where videos like that would end up. And I also welcome you and anyone in your audience. Please feel free to send videos my way, just to the email shown on Next World TV. I would love to, you know, expand my search as always, and subscribers send me plenty of great stuff all the time that I broadcast. So please send anything my way that will help with this these crazy times we're in. The debt of our nation and the debt of us personally, you know, personal debt in America, it's all so analogous, isn't it, to the way we've used the future, the way we've borrowed from the future for the fleeting now. It's all one subject. We've lived the last 50 years as if this abundance would always be going on and the future would always be bigger. I think that's a very interesting mindset to grow out of. I mean, as an American, it was disturbing when I understood that the future wasn't going to be bigger, that the economy doesn't keep growing and everything doesn't just keep expanding. I mean, of course that makes sense. A four-year-old can tell you that, but we think of that as negative. You know, when we're talking about the economy not coming back, people think you're being negative. But of course it's not coming back. It was based on debt and resources we don't have anymore, and they're not cheap anymore. We're even China's doesn't have access to cheap materials. Nothing is cheap anymore. Nothing is going to be cash registers rang because people paid with credit cards. They were borrowing from the future.
When you consider how the government is run by being so much in debt, if we, a person, would run their household that way, we'd probably end up in jail very quick.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I'd also
and
talk
not to mention
that China.
We can't just print money. It would be illegal.
Right. Oh, we ran out. Right. We ran out. We'll print some more. I would also toss in that China, because of their, you know, situation with energy, China's the largest country in the world to be, or the largest user of solar hot water heaters anywhere in the world. And part of that comes from a need, you know, the huge growing population. And they do not have the capacity to produce enough energy, unlike we seem to think we have endless ability to produce energy. So they have gone to using a huge amount of solar hot water heaters. That's just one example of in some countries where they don't have the financial capability or the infrastructure to just endlessly supply something, they come up with a plan B, and in their case, their plan is producing, you know, using the advantage of the sun to actually heat hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, need creates, let's jump that, you know, possibility and go to this. So more of that. I envision more of that.
Well, be ready, I think, is what Next World TV is talking about in terms of be able to take care of yourself.
Yes, yes. It's not exactly a prepper site, but it prepares. I hope my goal is to reach mainstream people. That is my goal, because there are fantastic prepper sites out there. Prepper meaning people who are very serious about storing up ways to have access to medicine and pure water and food, and they're storing food. They're storing anything they might need to survive in an off-grid life, which is great and admirable.
Right. I think that's great and admirable. But I think the thing that I like about your site is that it adds stuff that people can be doing now, today.
Preppers, exactly.
I mean, I'm not anti-prepper. But what I'm talking about is that, like, you actually advocate for composting and efficient water usage and being observant about our impact on the planet, whereas preppers don't necessarily have that in their overall picture of what they're going for, like, you know, the grid is off and we have to survive. What do we do? And they're eating
MREs.
No,
that's true.
And so I really like that about your site.
Right. Well, thank you. Yes. I think I take a more long-term approach. Let's survive past the crisis. Let's prepare for a life of using less energy, not just a disaster. And not about surviving a single disaster, like natural disaster or war or anything. We need to figure out how to make do on less energy permanently, no matter what happens, even if it's just a slow decline. But I think there are going to be bumpy times.
Yes, yes. And there's a good song there somewhere, the Bumpy Times song, that... You know, if we begin to change things, if we begin to act as if we can have change, like the conversation about the coffee cups, you know, start there. Then start making your own compost. Just improving the quality of the planet itself is going to do no harm, whether we're in a prep mode or not. You know, let's heal the earth. Let's, you know, try and act as if that's important. I love that.
Exactly. Well, I'm curious. Do you see a raised awareness in the last, you know, let's just say since 2008 in your area in California? I mean, do you see people changing their habits a little bit?
That intonation was excellent. Being in a drought area, I have as an ongoing, you know, California conundrum that we have literally, California got about 20% of the rain that it normally would this year. And in the northern part of California, we seem to observe that more than they do in the southern part of California. I'm not picking on LA directly, but I could. You know, we don't see up here. There's a consciousness, but also I'm in the middle of an agricultural realm, where they begin to understand, and I grew up near the Salinas Valley watching what they've had to do and begin to observe, like, we just can't use water like it's an endless resource. And they begin to, you know, alter. Particularly up here, there's a lot of use of a substance called biochar, which is a really wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wonderful substance. So there's a big organization up here that's, you know, a big proponent of biochar, and using that in vineyards to reduce water usage. So there, you know, here it's a result of need, must, because water is getting expensive. So it's not unlike fuel. So in that sense, there is
right.
a consciousness, and there is a bit more consciousness about recycling and, you know, all of that. And I live in a community where there's an unbelievable amount of electric cars, from Teslas to Nissan Leafs to everything.
Oh.
So there is stuff happening, but there's still, water is always a tricky area. It's a personal passion of mine. And water is still tricky because people still turn on the tap every day and water's there.
Yes.
And
yes.
it's not as expensive like gas yet.
Right.
At least it's that way. Okay. I have a feeling that we need to go. I don't want to. I always love this conversation. Sherry, do you have any thoughts? It's always excellent. Sherry, do you have other thoughts, or should I move toward the close?
We're going to have to close because I've got another show right after this.
Oh, that's right. You've got a class after this.
Yes.
Well, Bibi, it is fabulous. We will have you back again sooner.
Thank you so much, Richard and Sherry. What a pleasure to speak with you today, and to be continued.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Okay.
And everybody have a great weekend. And, Sherry, I'll talk to you later and see you on – everybody on Tuesday is, I think, Direction for Truth on Tuesday afternoon my time.
Yes.
Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.